You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 78. Dewi is my guest today, and Dewi has three short related dreams that each appeared a couple of days after the other, and worryingly for her at the time, they were all about death. Death of her children, death of other people. And, you know, often when people come and discuss their dreams with me, or they visit my website or my blog, they often come because they have a dream about death, or and particularly a dream about death of someone in the family. That's often the prime motivator to start looking at dreams. And these dreams, once you understand them deeply, are actually very liberating, extremely helpful, and very, very healing, as you will discover when you listen to Dewi's dream. Dewi has some very interesting questions to ask during this podcast as well, such as why, when in fact what she did was go out and have a lovely relaxing holiday, did she have these worrying dreams of death? Because she knows from listening to my other podcasts that the dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours of your life. So she said, why would it be that I'm out having this wonderful holiday and having these dreadful dreams? Why? You'll discover. Listen in. Welcome to the show, Dewi. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Jim Theresa, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure, Dewi. It's always so wonderful for us when somebody like you puts up your hand and asks to come on the show, because as everybody listening in knows, you know, we need guests to, you know, to get something wonderful out of the show, and everybody always learns something from whichever guest comes on. And I know that you have something particularly interesting and that is going to prick up a lot of ears today. So what have you got for us?
A dream is about death, involving a death of my son. And it's two dreams, two separate dreams. They happen 2 days or 2 nights apart. Should I tell you the dream?
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm really pleased about this because, you know, death dreams are something that really, really, really worries so many people, especially, as you say, you know, when it's a dream of, you know, in the dream, it's a family member that dies. So, please go through them both.
The first one is my son, Jack, his name is. In reality, he is only 6 years old. But in my dream, he was 5 years old. I received a phone call from his school saying that they took him to hospital and he died there. And I went to the school, and I remember when I wake up, I remember that I kept following the teacher and asking the same question over and over again about why they didn't contact me before they took him to hospital. I wasn't sad, I wasn't angry, but yeah, I was annoyed with the fact that they didn't tell me, and I didn't rush to the hospital either, so I thought that was a bit strange. And the second dream was 2 nights after the first one. It's also about Jack, and this time he was a teenager, actually. He's much older. He's lying on a trolley in a hospital in my right hand side, I think he was, and in my left hand side is another trolley, and there's a girl also died, and she's in the same age as Jack, and in my dream she was my daughter, but she's not my real daughter, and she's not my daughter in that age. So this girl in my dream is complete stranger. I didn't know who she was. I only knew in my dream that she was my daughter. Yeah, and the strange part is suddenly at some stage Jack just woke up and walked away as if he wasn't died at all. And the girl remained dead. So yeah, I thought that's quite bothers me. And there's another dream afterwards, not quite dead. The following night, I dream about my auntie is diagnosed with cancer, and she definitely is going to die, and everybody thinks she's going to die, and I was feeling sad then in my dream. But she didn't, when the dream finished, she's still alive. We just thought that she's going to die, and yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So it's three dreams. When was the first dream, Demi? They're three related dreams, and that's really important, and I'm glad about that. But when was the first one? When did you have it?
The first one is, I think it's on the 21st or 22nd of September, which is 2 weeks ago.
And then the second one was a couple of nights later.
That's right. All those three dreams happened while I was sailing on a Sunday. So I didn't, 2 days or a few days prior to the dream, during that period, I didn't have conversation with someone about particular things or something that happened. We were having a holiday, and yeah, when the boat stopped, I'm preparing the food, taking the children to the beach, and
So you were just having a wonderful holiday when you had these dreams,
that's what I think quite interesting.
I'm looking forward to putting that together with it too. And the dream about your auntie having cancer, when was that? Was that just a couple of days after the trolley dream?
I forgot about that dream until recently. I just tried to remember when that dream was happening. I realised it's actually also a few days after the second one.
Yes, yeah. Fantastic dreams. Really interesting. And a couple of things just straight off the top. Isn't it interesting, and you did this really well, Demi, you remembered how you felt in the dream. Often we wake up from an awful dream, like dreaming of your child dying, and we're instantly, we wake up and, there's those few seconds where we believe it's happened, and then that absolute enormous wave of relief when we realise it hasn't. But that waking thought, when you think back on that dream, is usually, full of such tumultuous emotions, and it's easy to talk about the dream and think about it from the emotions you feel about it when you're awake, whereas in fact to do the interpretation you really need to keep a cool head and remember the emotions that you had in the dream, which is what you've done. In the dream you were asking the school, well, why didn't you tell us, but you didn't go to the hospital. And in the trolley dream you were sort of quite just watching what was happening. Great devastation. And that's an important part of the interpretation. So I'm really glad that we've got those emotions in. I'm going to ask you some more questions about them too. And the other thing is just to reassure you and reassure everyone listening in that, dreams are not literal, they're symbolic. And so when we have these awful dreams of death, they're not actually about death of anybody at all. And when you dream about your son or your aunt or anyone that you know in life, you're actually not dreaming about anything about them either. Every dream you're dreaming about yourself, So death in a dream in general will usually be about something that's ending in your life. And sometimes it's good when things end in our lives, because you can only get a new job if you leave an old job. You can only have a new attitude if you let an old attitude die, and so on. And sometimes it's not so good when things end in our lives, like we might stop a project prematurely and then afterwards think, wish I hadn't killed that one off, so to speak. It would have been good to keep it going. So our job in interpreting your dreams here, Dewi, is to look and say, well, what, and we'll do this with all the clues in your dream, what is it that was dying off at the time of your dream, and is this a good thing, is this a bad thing, and so on. So that's the angle we're going to go in at. Okay.
All right.
Now, I'm just also going to jump there to say about you being on holiday and having a lovely time sailing around the Whitsundays, which for all our listeners who aren't Australian is a dream holiday. The Whitsunday Islands are islands off the off our northeast coast of Australia. And the thing to do to go there, the most wonderful thing to do is to go sailing around them. And that's what you've been doing. So it's kind of like a wonderful holiday to have. So why would you be dreaming about death? And our dreams do always reflect what's been happening for us the 24 to 48 hours before. So it begs the question even more. But what we have to remember is that our dreams reflect our conscious as well as our unconscious experience, thoughts, feelings of the day or two before. And funnily enough, when we go on holiday or we just take time away from our daily stuff of life, that can actually be challenge enough, even though we're having a good time. You know, it's like you take a step away from your everyday life and consciously or unconsciously stuff comes up for you. You know, you begin to view your life in a slightly different way because you're on holiday. Sometimes you're having a really good time and so you look back on your life and go, you know, don't really want to go back to all that discipline or whatever it is. I wish I could get out of that. Other times for other people, you can be on holiday and maybe you're on holiday with people, you know, family, friends, and that can bring up issues for you. If you're a workaholic, and I'm certainly not saying this is you, I'm just giving examples, Dewi. If you're a workaholic, of course, it can be a real challenge to go on holiday. It's like, what about my work, you know? And so being on holiday can actually bring up a lot of stuff. And it's really interesting when you're taking a break or on holiday to take notice of your dreams because they can be extremely insightful. And the bonus is you've got time to wake up and think about them and write them down in the morning. So let's have a look at your dreams. In the first one, Dewi, so we'll concentrate, you know, we'll take them one by one and then see how they're linked. Mm-hmm. So the first one is about where Jack was actually only 5 years old in the dream, whereas in fact he's six. Yeah. And the school phoned you and said that he'd gone to hospital and had died. No, he'd just gone to hospital or he died?
They put him to hospital and he died there. He died in the hospital.
Yeah, and you spent the rest of the dream running around the school trying to find out why didn't they tell you. Okay. Now, Jack was only five in the dream, so there's going to be two ways we're going to approach this number because numbers are quite a key to interpretation. And one possibility, and we'll explore them both, is that because Jack is now six and he's five in the dream, it may be taking us back to look at what was happening for you a year ago. And the other possibility, which I think is probably stronger, is because he was five in the dream, it's going to take us back to look at what's been in your life for 5 years, what was happening for you 5 years ago. So as I go through this a little bit, I'll then ask you those questions and we'll see if we can relate it to those times, okay?
All right.
So the bottom line is that somebody, and that is Jack in the dream, is sick enough to have to go to hospital. Something is not right and ultimately dies there. So everyone in a dream represents an aspect of yourself. And your dream has chosen, say, Jack rather than any adult male in your family and has chosen a five-year-old Jack to illustrate what it is that has it needed healing at the time of the dream and, in fact, kind of maybe just died off after all. The fact that he went to the hospital in the dream suggests that this is maybe something that you may have killed off too early. It's something that needed healing rather than killing off within yourself, and we'll go into what it is, but it may also mean something that you need to heal in order to let it go, to let it die, and that's probably actually what it is. So if we start by saying what happened for you 5 years ago, and because he's a male, the male in a dream is usually more about your outer world and particularly your world of work and what you're doing out there. So was there any particular major change for you, something new that you began 5 years ago?
5 years ago, my husband ran a hearing clinic. He has his own business, and 5 years ago, he decided to expand the business. And at that time, I was involved in the administration side of things, so it was the beginning of a long hours work. Yeah, almost every day, 5-6 days a week, I usually go to bed, you know, went to bed about 1 or 3 o'clock in the morning every day. That was horrible. But we sold the business last year and I haven't worked since then.
Wow. So we've actually got your dream was actually clever enough to somehow get across to you 5 years ago and a year ago. So, that makes a lot of sense to me already. So Jack in the dream represents what was happening, what started for you 5 years ago, which was doing an enormous amount of admin work for your husband's business. And then that finished a year ago and kind of liberated you from that. Now, that's why in the dream, I feel, if we focus on the hospital and death part first, the hospital part is like, this is something that needs to be healed. I need to, there's something that I still, even though I, Dewi, I'm so happy that I'm not doing all this admin work anymore, and even though I'm glad that we sold the business, there's still something there that I want to heal within myself. And when I heal it, you weren't at that stage in the dream, with this first dream, you weren't really quite ready to let it go. You know, Jack died in the dream, which is the letting go, but you actually weren't quite ready for that. You still had questions to ask. And that's why in the dream, you're up at the school going, but why didn't you tell me? But why didn't you tell me? But why didn't you tell me? You're focused on the questions rather than what was actually happening. Kind of you're focused more on the head questions, I guess, rather than on what was happening in your heart. So my feeling at that point is that you were on holiday when you had this dream, sailing the Whit Sunday. So it's kind of like, this is the ultimate in relaxation. This is the exact opposite from doing admin work for a business and never getting to bed till 1, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So what it was doing for you this holiday was basically going, yes, I so love this freedom. I so love this. And your unconscious mind was going, yeah, you know, and you're probably going around on holidays saying, I'd love to be like this all the time. And your unconscious mind is going, yes, but, you know, there's still something to heal from letting go of all that admin work. There's still something to let go, something to come to terms with. And there's still a lot of questions to ask yourself, but you may have got caught up with asking yourself too many questions. Have you, in fact, sort of been going over and over and over, even though you sold the business, have you been asking yourself a lot of questions like, why didn't I see something coming, or why?
No, I think it's more of what I wanted, I suppose, because for years and years, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I did know that I didn't want to continue working with my husband. So when we sold the business, that should be a good news for me. Then, you know, I can go do my own things. But I haven't, because even now I'm still thinking and I'm still arguing with myself about what is it that I want to do and how I'm going to do it and how I'm going to get around, you know, the family life, because obviously if I Michael's still working full time, so if I don't work, then I have to take care of the children, the home, and can I do that and, you know, building my own business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So these are the kind of questions that you're asking yourself, and that would have been particular focus while you were on holiday, even though you're supposed to be taking a break from it all. Unconscious mind lives on, you know. Oh, now you're on holiday and you've got time to think. What are we going to do? So that makes a lot of sense.
I've been trying to work this out.
Oh, there's more to come, and there's going to be some wonderful answers for you here. This is so good. So these are all the questions that you're asking yourself. It's like, you know, at some level, you're ready to find, as you said there, practical solutions so that you can find a way to not only care for your family and, you know, and do all the things that you want to do there and have time out and never be in that position of working till 1 to 2 to 3 in the morning again. But by the same token, you want to find that space to do your own thing and identify what it is. So while you're in the middle of doing all of that, your unconscious mind is going to bring up all the negatives, the doubts and the anxieties, you know, and some of the things, even though you worked successfully for your husband in all those years and you sold the business, some of those anxieties and doubts might be, oh, but if I open another business, even if it's one that I want to do myself, am I still going to be working till 1 to 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning? Am I going to be able to fit it all in? Your memory, you know, although every dream is reviewing the last 24 to 48 hours, the nerves that it hits in that time take you back to the past. So in your dream, it was taking you back 5 years and 1 year to say, look, these are the issues at the moment. You know, you would need to heal this thing about, I want to work, but I don't want to be doing this amount of hard work. I don't want to be doing admin work. I don't want to be working till 1 to 3 in the morning. So how do I heal this, or do I let it go? You know, this is what you're grappling with. And I quite like the reason then, Dewi, in your dream where you're pursuing the school and saying, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Because I'm beginning to think, I mean, the school is where you go to learn things.
That's right.
Yeah. So you could say, what is the learning? Your quest in the dream is to learn something from this situation. And your questions are, what? It's like you go to school, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from those experiences I had doing all that admin for my husband's business? And the main focus in the dream is, why didn't you tell me that something needed healing? So my feeling from that is, what you can learn when we're going to clear the path so that you can help to identify what you want to do and go and do it without getting overload hours. But to do that, one of the things that you will need to help you to do is to ask that question quite often of yourself and identify when you need to be in touch with something that needs to be healed. You know, your dream is, why didn't you tell me that Jack was in hospital? So your dream is, why didn't you tell me that something needed to be addressed? Okay, so we want to go forward when you choose your business and move into it, that you can do it in a way that you stay in contact with your heart, in a sense that tells you, you need to heal this, or, you need to pay attention to yourself, or, have you noticed that this, that, or the other? Because your experience 5 years ago was that the school didn't tell you something, you know, the learning wasn't coming through. You weren't learning from this. You weren't getting something from it.
That's right.
So part of it is to go back and learn in retrospect what you can learn and take away from those times working for your husband. And part of it is to make sure that as you go forward with your new business, that you don't get in that situation again, that you remain open to hearing what needs to be heard within yourself.
Yeah.
So because you were on holiday and having a lovely time and nice and relaxed, and yet you would have woken up that morning and spent the next couple of days with that dream floating around in your mind, I'm sure, that's really what gave rise to the second dream. So your second dream, the one with the trolleys, is a result of you processing over that next 2 days of holidays some of that, even though we hadn't interpreted the dream. Okay, so if we move to that second dream, the essence of it was, as I remember it, there was that this time you got past the learning experience. You weren't haranguing the school anymore. You were actually in the hospital, and not so much in the hospital, you were in the mortuary.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and this time you had Jack, but he was a teenager, and he was dead on your right-hand side, and you had your daughter, but wasn't your real daughter, who was also a teenager, and she was dead on your left-hand side, and then Jack got up and walked away. How did you feel when he got up and walked away?
Lovely. I was just watching as he, you know, he's not dead now, it's just all right then.
He's not dead now, but it's all right then, but no great emotion.
Yeah, that's right.
And how did you feel before he got up and walked away when they were both dead? Do you remember how you felt in the
I think I felt a little bit lost because I didn't know what to do, whether I should stay or I should go, so I decided to stay and I just sit there. But while I sit there, I didn't think of anything, I didn't feel of anything. I just felt that that's what I need to do, I just need to sit there.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that feeling of what I have to do here is just sit here probably had a result, which was that the dead Jack suddenly became alive and walked away. You know, sometimes when we do nothing, like we're not actually taking any actions, but we're just sitting and being, and in your case, watching, and in your case, in the dream, not actually necessarily expecting any outcome. I mean, you know, here you were in the dream, two dead bodies. You don't exactly expect one to get up and walk away.
I think it makes a big money. I'm just expecting it to happen. And whether I'm doing anything about it.
And that's interesting. Yeah. You see, sometimes in life, that's all it takes. It takes not doing something. It takes contemplating. And more than that, it takes, as you were in the dream, not just being, but accepting. You know, you were kind of accepting the situation. Oh, well, okay. I'm not really feeling anything. I'm not really feeling anything, but I'm accepting that the situation, that these bodies are dead. And it was in that moment of being and not doing and in that moment of accepting, and in that moment of kind of knowing that that was what you needed to do, that you got a different result. And that's part of where we're going to go to. So just hang on to that. The other thing that's when you were sitting there, even though you sort of felt this was the thing to do, you know, you just said to me now you also felt a bit lost, like no direction. And in fact, the only direction you could think of was just to sit and do nothing, which, as I've just said, is actually a good thing sometimes. And you also said, I said to you, how did you feel when Jack became alive and walked away? And you said that you felt, that's okay then, that's good.
As if, you know, it was a natural thing for him to not to be dead. So
yeah. So it was a natural thing. And to some extent, did you feel less lost then when he got up and walked away?
No, I was then waiting for the girl to wake up and do the same thing, except she didn't.
And how did you feel about that?
I don't think I have chance to find out. I think I woke up then.
Yeah, that's okay, because we've got the third dream to actually address that. So let's look at this one here. First of all, Jack is not his real age again. He's a teenager. So without thinking about it at all, Derry, just tell me how old he was in the dream.
Probably 16, 15.
Okay, so something in your life. And what we often do in our dreams is we begin to see an issue like we've just looked at in the first dream, you know, that stretched back to when you first did this and took on this admin job for your husband. And we begin to grapple with that. And as we begin to unravel it and understand it, we then go back further into our lives to kind of look at the origin of that issue. And then we might go back further and further and further. So what you've done in this dream is, because Jack now appears to be 15 or 16 years old in the dream, is you've gone back about 15 or 16 years. So you're looking at something that's been in your life for 15 or 16 years. And again, he's the male, so it's probably about what's out there in your world of work. So what was happening, what began for you 15 or 16 years ago? So it's 2010 now, so that will be
1994, 95? 94, 95. All right, that's when I first enrolled to an English class at the same time as I enrolled to associate diploma in accounting with a TAFE in Melbourne. And I also enrolled in Queensland, Victoria Uni, to get my qualification in nursing recognised.
Well, you're a veteran at taking on an awful lot of work then, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't know how I did it. If I look back, I couldn't believe what I did, but yeah.
Well, this is spot on for the dream. You know, you can begin to see now the connection. So what I'm really interested to do now is, okay, so basically in your dream, what you do is you sit and contemplate, and this is your unconscious mind expressing itself in your dream. And when you wake up, we're now looking at it and going, isn't that interesting? Your unconscious mind went back far enough to say, you know, this hard work thing, this overload thing, this sitting up to 1 to 2 to 3 in the morning kind of goes back a long way. It didn't actually just begin when you took on this admin work for your husband. It possibly went back to when 15 or 16 years ago when you took on 3 courses at the same time. And 3 totally diverse. I mean, accounting and nursing, how different are they?
Yeah. Well, I think the accounting is my personality, and the nursing is just my, you know, the other side of me. It began with when I was little, I couldn't get along with my mother, so I wanted to, you know, I skipped some years at school. I did very well, so I can skip a few years, and I finished high school when I was 16, and that was when I made the decision to leave home because I couldn't stand my mother anymore. But at the same time, I didn't want to end up in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this nursing college because they provide accommodation.
That is astounding what you're saying there, Derry, and I'm sure you're seeing the connections already. So there's another 16 there. You know, you left school, you left home at 16 because of that as well. Yeah. And also, you know, you've given the whole motivation, which you obviously clearly understand, and you've obviously done a lot of work on yourself and put these connections together, that your motivation and taking on a lot of work and a lot of study is kind of twofold. One is I've got to get away from my mum for whatever reason. And the other is I don't want to be out on the streets. So, yeah, so two of the things that really motivate you taking on a lot of work are fear of being on the streets. I've got to study three things instead of one. And I really, 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 really want to get away from some of the issues that were making life uncomfortable for me when I lived at home with my mum. And what happens, and everybody listening can totally understand where you're coming from here, and you're obviously, you've used this, you've kind of leveraged this, these home difficulties and relationship difficulties to really fast track and develop your academic excellence, you know, so there's always a positive in everything that we do.
Yeah.
And so you have that with you now. But the question then is to look back and say, but do I really need to work this hard? Because you may have unconsciously an issue that if I don't work really, 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 really hard, if I don't bite off far more than I can chew, then I may end back in the same kind of situation, or I may be criticized in the same way that my mum criticized me, or I may not be able to survive. I may be out on the street. Whereas in fact, those are fear based, and you know, you probably don't have to work that hard. And if you didn't work that hard, also, you know, to be quite frank, when you have a relationship difficulty with someone for whatever reason, it doesn't really heal itself until you heal it within yourself. You don't actually even necessarily have to go and heal the relationship by talking to the other person if that's not for you, but it is something you need to come to terms with within yourself, and no amount of hard work is ever going to heal that, you know. And I'm sure you've done a lot of healing work on it already, but it's that kind of acknowledging, Derry, that unconsciously you're driven to work really hard, really, really, really hard, because that's going to make right what wasn't right with your mum. Yeah. What are you able to say what the main issue was with your mum? What she made you feel?
Well, see, I'm the first, I'm the oldest. I have sisters and brother. My mum always expect, you know, the best of me. I was very young then. I was probably 7 or 8 when I started to live with her. Previously, I lived with my grandmother. And when my mom came back and I started to live with her, I was about 7 or 8. And at that time, suddenly I have sisters and brother, and I need to look after them. And if I do a very good job, then it's understood, it's expected, it's normal, it's nothing to be fussed about, you know, nothing to fuss about. But if I don't do a good job, or I make a mistake, or my sister cry or something, you know, or the servant didn't do the job, then I get punished. Whether that's whether the belt will be in my bag, or whether a slap, or just a verbal, you know, expression that is not happy with me. But at that time, I thought that's just normal. Yeah. Only when I become teenager, then I start seeing things, you know, I saw that my mom only treat me that way, but not my sisters and my brother. And I thought maybe because I'm the oldest, and maybe because she put expectation on me to, you know, as the leader of family one day or something like that. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Isn't it interesting that that we all think our childhoods are normal, you know, even when they're really, you know, very upsetting parts like that. And you know, sometimes it can take a lifetime. You were lucky you saw it early, you know, but it can take, it takes so long for us to stand back and go, hang on a minute, that's a little bit different from what some of my friends have been experiencing.
That's not right.
Yeah. And so what you've identified there, you know, with either verbal abuse or sometimes a little bit of physical abuse, is a punishment. You know, I will be punished if I don't do the job properly. And to some extent, that would paradoxically, to some extent, that would have motivated your striving for excellence. You know, I've got to do everything academically as well as domestically perfectly, or I'll be punished. And yet I say paradoxically because also that was your escape route from home. You know, I'm leaving home and I'm going to do so well at everything. I'm going to be so excellent. And I'm going to hold down three courses at the same time that I'm never going to have to. And what you've actually done, apart from develop some wonderful qualities within yourself and get yourself ahead in the world a long way and all sorts of wonderful other things, is that you've also sometimes put yourself into for some more punishment, as in staying up to 1 to 2 to 3 in the morning, working hard on something. So paradoxically, you've gone from wanting to escape punishment to actually thinking, oh, well, you know, life's a bit good. If my mum was here, she'd be punishing me now, so I better punish myself, better make things a bit tough for myself. And my feeling, Dewi, is that's what these three dreams are, and I'm excited to go on to the third dream as well, because the key is there. This is what these dreams are doing. They're alerting you. You go on a lovely Whitsunday's holiday. And unconsciously, your unconscious mind must be going, this, Dewi, this is okay. You can have this. You don't have to be punished. You don't have to put yourself through any punishing routine. You can have this. This is the new normal for you. And your unconscious mind is going, no. give me something else to take on.
What is it?
And so that's why in that that second dream, why you've got this daughter. You know, it's like you come to terms by sitting and being and watching. It was like when you were 16 at home and you just sort of described there that you gradually noticed that your brothers and sisters weren't treated the same way. You know, you were being and noticing, yeah. And in the dream, there's a bit of that, like just sitting and being and noticing, even though you're feeling lost, you kind of, the jackpot comes alive again. Something comes back to life. But the girl is still dead. And this is why the girl in the dream isn't your own daughter. As you say, she's a stranger. You know she's your daughter, but she's a stranger and she's about 16. So she is actually the part of yourself that was 16 that still feels a bit of a stranger to you. You don't recognize her in the dream, but she's kind of like you. She's both been in your life for 16 years because that's when you know, you went out and left home and did all these things, but she's also you at 16 because, in a sense, any child that's been through what you've been through will be very motivated in the world out there. So that's why you've got the men in your dream. The men tend to represent the world out there. Yeah. Whereas addressing your own issues, which is the female side of you, is very, very hard to do. It's like it's too close to home. It's emotional. And so a child like you, and I know a lot of people listening in especially women will recognize this in themselves too, will be very successful in the world out there, but never quite have come to terms with the young, what happened to them on the female kind of level.
Wow.
Yeah. So the bottom line of that last dream was, yes, did you know that although you are now coming to understand the male side of you and what motivates you in the world out there to work too hard, what's still dead within you to an extent, and maybe it's dead, just let it go, but just sit here and be with this and contemplate it and look at it and take it in, is maybe what you need to know now is that you still don't really know a part of yourself from when you were 16 that still feels like a bit of a stranger. You still need to come to terms with this part of yourself. And that's why when we go to the third dream, you've suddenly got not a male that's dying. It's not Jack in hospital. It's not Jack on the trolley. This time you've got a female figure. You've got your aunt diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
So by this time, we're really beginning to look at the female part of yourself, because, again, everybody in a dream is not who they appear to be. They're all aspects of yourself.
Yeah.
Is this aunt, was this your mother's sister, or who? How is that?
No, it's actually my husband's auntie.
Okay. And if in waking life, how would you describe her personality in three words?
She's a school teacher, so it's discipline.
Discipline. What else?
She's almost the law. So if auntie say this, then that's That's what it is. Yeah.
she's always right, you mean?
Very respectable lady.
Yeah, but disciplined, lays down the law a bit and commands a lot of respect.
Yes.
Okay. In the dream, she's dying of cancer.
Yes, she was diagnosed with cancer and that she's dying.
Yeah. Do you remember which area of the body it was in the dream, Dewi?
No.
That's okay.
No. So
in the dream, she is... her energy has been taken away from her. She's been diagnosed. There's something growing inside her in some part of her body. And so she represents a part of yourself. You have not got cancer. It's nothing to do with that. But what it's saying is there's a part of yourself that would be very disciplined. And from everything you're telling us, you are not disciplined in the same way that she is, but you certainly know how to discipline yourself, how to study three things at the same time, how to do the admin work and everything. And she commands a lot of respect, and I feel you probably do too. And laying down the law, that's what your mum did.
Right.
Okay. So you probably don't lay down the law, I don't know, but there'd be an unconscious part in you that says you've got to lay down the law, you've got to respond to the law, whatever. Now, all of this now, like your aunt in the dream is sick.
Yeah.
It's like you have diagnosed between the second dream and the third dream while you were bopping about having a lovely time in the Whitsundays. Your unconscious mind at least diagnosed, went, oh, there is a part of my female side is sick. I've diagnosed a problem. The part of myself that likes to be really disciplined, the part of myself that does command a lot of respect, but nevertheless somehow has believed in the importance of the laws that must be followed, like believed in the part, you know, the laws that my mum said, you have to be this Dewi, you have to do this, you have to do this, otherwise you'll be punished.
Right.
Is now needing healing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's the bottom line. It goes all the way down to there. So in order to move ahead with, you know, you said towards the beginning of our discussion, you said, well, look, now that I've stopped working for my husband and we've sold the business and I've had a lovely year, I'm kind of looking at how can I identify exactly what I want to do for myself and not only identify it and enjoy doing it, but also have time for my family. And, you know, that was your question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And in a sense, that could be in that second dream when you say you're feeling lost. It's like, I'm lost. I don't know which of these do or how to do it. And your dreams have brought up all these issues. And the bottom line of your dream says, now you understand what can drive you to take on too much. Don't take on too much. Now you can understand that what can drive you to think that you have to do things to the law, to the letter of the law, you have to do things right, or you'll be punished.
Hmm.
You don't have to. That's not true either. That came from your mum. We can let that go. And if we let all of that go, what we then are left with is some healing of those things within yourself, just like healing the aunt in the dream. That was what's needed to be done. So in order for you to discover or choose which of your many ideas you'd like to have for your business next, there first comes a period of sitting and watching and being, like in the second dream, and then healing within yourself the aspects of yourself that are still motivated from the days with your mum to do it right, do it hard, take lots on, or you'll be punished. And once you just go over all that stuff, and I'll give you some dream alchemy to help it, and allow that to clear and get rid of those that unconscious programming, you'll then be in a position where you will see so much more clearly that you will be able to choose something to take on that is not punishing, that is not going to take away too much time from wanting to also look after your family. That's going to, in fact, be a beautiful life-work balance and provide what you want. But you can't jump to that. First, you have to clear and heal these issues within you, which is what the Dream Alchemy will do. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so.
So if we have you got any questions you'd like to ask before we go and develop a dream alchemy practice to help this happen?
With the law, you know, actually I have been a very rigid person. I I'm a solitary person. I can, you know, I can amuse myself without needing so many people around me or a lot of friends. But lately, in the past few weeks or maybe few months, I'm beginning to I meet people and I talk to them and I make friends. Is that
and it feels
also
good.
A part of it?
Yes, it feels good, does it?
Yeah.
My feeling from that is that, you know, as when you lived at home as the eldest child and you had all these duties, you were looking after your brothers and sisters rather than, say, bonding with them. You were doing what your mother asked you to do rather than bonding with her. And you learned as the eldest child under those conditions to be self-sufficient. And you learned to sort of fight your own way. And then when you left home, from what you're saying, it feels to me that you went ahead and did the same thing. Like, I'm safe as a solitary person. The more I can avoid being too deeply involved with other people, the more I can stay safe. They're not going to ask me to do things. They're not going to expect too much of me. Kind of like protecting your space, because your mum did not protect your space. She didn't give you, from what you're saying, the space to be a child, did she?
No.
So you've gone through life to some extent protecting that space so that nobody will take away your personal freedom from you.
Yeah.
But because in the last few weeks you've actually, and you don't know how it happened, but you've actually started to spend more time with other people and begin to feel comfortable with that, what that tells me is that you've already, perhaps through these dreams or perhaps through something else that's happened, say, you know, a week or two leading up to when you went and made connections with these friends, you've already started to shift and heal these aspects. What happened, say, a couple of weeks before you started spending more time with other people? Was there a big change in your life?
No, I decided to do millinery course. This is beginning of this year, but then it was too hard. It's only 2 nights a week in South of Brisbane. But my husband thing is too far to drive, and sometimes it's raining, it's not safe. And then the occasion I missed the class because I had to take my son somewhere. And then I decided to drop it at the end of the first term.
Ah.
And I wasn't happy with that, but I thought, well, if I can't go to school, I can teach myself by DVD instruction, how to make hats, and, you know, something like that. And then I began to make hats, just put it around in my studio and his hat. And then three people came to me and asked me to make them hats to wear to spring carnival, and one of them won the Fashion in the Field Award. This is my hat. And it just, this is me. I'm no one. I live at the back of Godrib and no one knows me. And my hat won Fashion in the Field Award. I was 30 surprise.
That is absolutely beautiful. That is the congratulations. That is so wonderful. I can see that in all of that. That is so good. So at the bottom line was that you made the decision that traveling all that way to the millinery course, and sometimes in rain and everything, with your husband's encouragement, you decided this is all too hard. And so there already was a shift and a change. Instead of the old Dewi might have done it the hard way.
Yeah.
But you didn't. And also, when you left home, you took on 3 academic courses. And this was an academic course that you've stepped away from it and done it your own way. Tuned into your own creative abilities. And as a solitary person, you know, I've said we learn and reap rewards from everything in life. And one of the things that you've learned as a solitary person, as a responsible person, is that maybe I don't need a course. Maybe I can work out how to do this myself. I'm self-sufficient. And for you, that's
what... I did well on that.
Yeah.
I guess that, you know, gives me confidence to speak, you know, to meet people and have something to talk about that is not the business before. It's something that I actually do myself, something that I make myself. It's about me, not about my husband.
Yes. It's so perfect, isn't it? It's not hard work. And you got it. The shift and the change, Dewi, was because you stepped away from something that was becoming too hard. You were almost about to enter the old pattern and take on something really, really difficult. And you stepped away from that. You trusted In this case, your female instincts, that's the female part of yourself, tends to be the more creative, holistic, spiritual, intuitive. And you actually followed your intuition to go get books, study, and then everything began to shift and change. And because of that, because of the confidence that you gained from that, the barriers began to drop. It began to feel safe to you to bring other people in. And what a reward you got from that. Just absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, so the shifting and the changing has been happening inside you. So no wonder it's generated the dreams, or the death in the dreams is, you know, perhaps on another level. Finally, the letting go of the old.
Oh. Oh, thank you, Chandrisa. I've been thinking about this dream and I couldn't work that out. And it's so simple in a way.
It's funny how, you know, things in life, outside of dreams, things in life that seem to be so complicated, once we untangle all the issues underneath them and resolve them and heal them, also become very simple. Sounds to me like you've already made your choice, the millinery.
Yeah. But I'm still not sure though whether, you know, I'm still debating with myself how far would I go with this and how much effort I need to put in, you know, into the business to make it to make it a real business and successful and actually making, you know, giving me income that I can sell.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here is,
I guess that's, again, that's the question that I need to
ponder. There are a couple of things in there, and we will do a dream alchemy so that all those things become clear for you. There's a couple of things in there. One is, you know, make sure that when you, if and when you develop this millinery business, that you don't jump to making it too hard for yourself. You know, now you are aware of that.
Yeah.
You pull it back. And the other one, as you mentioned there, is you want it to be a business, you want it to be earning money. And of course, a business, you want to do it for earning money. But maybe in the early days, it doesn't make money. It takes a while to establish, to get the clientele. And you know what you could do? You could actually even just enjoy doing it. Wouldn't that be good pay?
Yeah, that would be nice.
And then gradually, as you relax and you let people in and you work with clients and you get these awards building up, because it really is quite simple and it really is quite you, then comes the point where the business makes money. And the reason I'm mentioning this, Dewi, is because it goes back to that thing when you left home when you were 16 and you said, I don't want to be on the street. There's a motivation in there. I've got to make money. I've got to make money. I've got to make money. And while money is nice, maybe at this time in your life, it will be okay if you make money further down the track, but you don't make that the prime motivator now.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking up a dream alchemy practice. So for people listening in that aren't familiar with a dream alchemy practice, what a dream alchemy practice is where you identify unconscious beliefs that you find through looking at a dream, and you use dream alchemy exercises to go in and talk to your unconscious mind to change those unconscious beliefs that have been limiting you so they don't limit you anymore. And in this, we use the symbols from your dream, because it's your unconscious mind that provides the dream symbols, like the trolleys and the aunt's cancer and all of these things are your unconscious mind symbols. So we do visualizations to using the dream symbols to change and transform them. So what we want to do in your case, Dewi, is we want to make sure that we haven't got any unconscious beliefs that are driving you from a fear base, because you don't want to be out in the streets. And more importantly, we don't want any unconscious beliefs driving you that you have to work hard and you have to be perfect.
Right.
We want to take those away. So I just want to work out, because they're getting in your way. And I love the way that you said, you know, in the millinery, how it's just so simple. You know, I got an award. How did I do that? So I really want to bring on more of that. So let me just have a little think about this for a moment. Okay, I think what I want to do is, you know, in the second dream, there was the girl, that the 16-year-old girl that was a stranger to you and she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think, depending on how you feel about this, I think what I'd like you to do is we'll get to re-enter that dream. And as Jack gets up and walks away, you turn around and you reach out and hold her hand, and as you do it, she comes to life and she's got a beautiful smile on her face, and we might even get her wearing a lovely hat.
Oh yes.
And you just hug her in the dream and you say, now I found you, I know you now, you know, so that it's stopping her being a stranger. Because in a sense, she's the part of yourself that you've killed off, you know.
Mm.
So I don't want to go into too much depth and explain all of that, but from what I understand, that will actually heal these other limiting beliefs that we've just identified that might be hard for everyone listening in to get that connection, but I know that it's there. How would you feel if we did a visualization like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what it's doing is getting you back in touch with some beautiful stuff about yourself that has you kind of killed off when you were 16, mm-hmm. because and it's been a stranger to you. And by reawakening, it's been like reawakening Sleeping Beauty, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to be the energy in the you that you are reawakening that says, I can do my millinery business. It's okay. I don't have to work too hard. I don't have to do it for money. You know, these are the childhood energies that were kind of killed off by your circumstances in your childhood. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, so close your eyes and I'll run you through this one.
All right.
So here you are in the dream and sitting on the seat, and amazingly, look, Jack has just got up and walked off, and he's safe and he's well and he'll always know what he's going to do. And you turn around and you see your other daughter in the dream, this dream stranger in the dream, and you turn around and you have such a heartfelt feeling for her that you reach out and you touch her hand, first her left hand, then her right. And as you do this, she begins to turn pink. She comes alive. A smile comes on her face, a beautiful smile. And look, look, Debbie, she's wearing your hat, that beautiful hat that you made. And she just radiates such a beautiful, warm feeling. And now you hug her. She stands up and you hug her. And you have now found this beautiful energy that you had lost touch with. And now that you've awoken her, a little bit like Sleeping Beauty, she's always with you now. And she can help you. You can draw on her energy to make more and more beautiful hats or whatever you ever want to do. And you can keep it simple and you can keep it easy. And best of all, with her beside you, you can just do it for fun. How did that feel?
Very good. It's liberating, actually.
Yeah. It will penetrate quite deeply, that one, Dewi. And it will bring up some dreams. And you will be able to understand some of those dreams. And if you can, it will be really great if you could repeat that, just what we did there,
mm-hmm.
20 times a day for a couple of weeks. It didn't take too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then twice a day for 4 weeks after that. And you can almost in a sense make that a bit quicker by either finding the hat, making a hat, or doing a drawing of a hat like the hat that you visualized on her in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that by you, if you've got the real hat, put it on. If you've got a drawing of the hat, just look at it, and it will help to anchor the visualization. And by doing that simple thing, what you're doing is you're retraining your unconscious mind to heal that long ago aspect of yourself and drop all the fears and limiting beliefs around that. And so by simply sitting with that, like you did in the second dream, by simply sitting with this dream alchemy visualization and doing it, you will find that you will become clearer and clearer about what you want to do, and you will feel better and better about connecting with other people and not taking on more than you want to, and not having to be perfect either, just allowing it all to unfold and be. Now, Debbie, because it goes very deep, you might also find yourself a bit teary for a few days, because there's going to be some grief to release here, and the grief is going to be for some aspects of your childhood and what you missed out on. And that's okay. So just let it cry. Go, yeah, this is good. Like, I'm just going to cry this out, because this is it coming out and going away.
Mm.
And keep notes. Keep notes on what happens.
Will do.
Thank you so much for sharing that awesome dream, Dewi. I know that a lot of people who have had dreams, or, you know, dreams of death, are going to be so reassured. And a lot of people listening who have had some similar experiences to what you've had in childhood are also going to feel inspired to approach life in a different way. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. You can catch up, as always, on Facebook. I'm easy to find on Facebook. And thank you for all of those of you that have come over. There's a lot of chats going on, a lot of interaction. And if you're listening to this in real time and not tracking back through the episode, you'll also have noticed that I've been experimenting with posting different kinds of stuff, little videos and stuff to Facebook. So please come along there and join in. It's becoming quite a community, and there's always room for more. And so I'll see you there. Or remember, if you're enjoying this show, you can always pop over to iTunes and get a free subscription so that it comes quite nice and easily to you every Friday. So until next Friday, have a lovely week. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.